Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
Man, relationships are complicated. Relationships are all about communication, and communicating is complicated. And it's more complicated now than ever, right? Like, we didn't used to have to communicate through text, but texting is complicated because you can't hear tone of voice, you can't read body language. Sometimes it's complicated because you're trying to text with someone who is older and maybe just learning their phone. Got a couple of actual text conversations. These are real. Check these out. Here's the first one. Mom says, I'm learning how to hashtag. That's great, Mom. Hashtag conversation with son. I don't think that's how hashtags work. Here's another one. I got an A in chem, she says to her mom. WTF, well done. Mom, what do you think WTF means? Well, that's fantastic. I don't think so. Here's one. There's lightly fried fish fillets for dinner. Dad, it's 1:15 a.m., WTF. Do you want the lightly fried fish fillets or not? Well, I mean, yeah. Thought so. Come on downstairs. They're still hot. Wait, what did you just make them? Yes, I wasn't tired, so I decided to make some lightly fried fish fillets. Say lightly fried fish fillets one more time, Dad. Here's another one with Grandma. Heard you got an iPhone. If you need any help with it, don't hesitate to call me. Hope all is well. Love, Leon. Pull MV nothing. Don't worry, it takes some time to learn how to text. Practice makes perfect. Oklahoma. I don't know what she was thinking. I think we got one more. Mom texts, how make chicken? Daughter says, what? Where buy chicken? Mom, this isn't Google. Avocado. I don't even know. I think that's it. Is there another one? No, that's it. So we're in this series called It's Complicated. By the way, we are starting a brand new series 2 weeks from today called Made. And we're going to talk about the fact that you were made for this and you are made for more. It's going to be, I think, very inspiring, and it's going to equip you to live a bigger life. Made is a three-week series, and the third week of the series, so March 24th and 25th, we have Michael Francis, who's going to be speaking live on stage. Go home and Google Michael Francis. Michael Francis was one of the most powerful mafia leaders in the country. One of the characters in Goodfellas is portraying Michael Francis. Michael Francis was named the biggest mafia money earner since Al Capone, went to jail, went to solitary with a Bible, and became a Christian in solitary. Incredible story. You're going to get to hear it. It's going to be awesome. Start thinking about who you're going to invite, and we'll get you some invite cards for that too. So today, though, and next week, it's complicated. So our key idea of the series has been good relationships, great relationships are possible, but they're not probable. They're not probable because we do relationships the way everyone does relationships instead of the way God tells us to do relationships. The key verse we've been looking at in this series is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so it starts out, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. And for sure that is true when it comes to relationships. It says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So God wants you to become a new you, and that will happen when you start letting God change the way you think so you think the way God thinks. And then it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Man, wouldn't it be great if your relationships were good and pleasing? That would be awesome. And we've been learning to change the way we think when it comes to relationships. Today, we're going to think about the power of the words we use in our relationships. If you have a Bible, you can turn to James chapter 3. We're going to get there in a minute. If not, it's okay. All the Bible verses will be on the screen. If you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar. I'd love to just give you a Bible on your way out today. So what we're talking about is so important, and you know that, right? The words you say and the words that are said to you are so important. God tells us in the Bible, he says, that the tongue has the power of life and death. words tear down or they build up. In fact, the Bible says that God created the world with the power of his words. He spoke the world into existence. And the truth is, our worlds have been created by words. Our worlds have been created by words, right? You've had some positive words that have been spoken into your life, and they built you up, and they made you believe in yourself, and they have shaped you into the person you are today. And you have had some negative words spoken into your life that have tore you down and made it really difficult for you to believe in yourself in some ways. I had a dad who spoke lots of negative words to me. I heard repeatedly that I was stupid and that I was worthless. And I have spent like my life feeling like I am stupid and I am worthless and trying so hard to prove to everyone else that I am not stupid and I am not worthless. Words tear us down. You guys want to hear something really interesting? There is a neuroscientist named Matthew Lieberman, and he noticed that when we talk about relational, emotional pain, we use the language of physical pain. So we say things like, she broke my heart. He hurt my feelings. Those words were a punch in my gut. We're using physical expressions, broke and hurt, punch, to describe relational, emotional pain. So this neuroscientist began to wonder and began to study the difference in our brains of how we process physical pain versus how we process relational, emotional pain. And listen to his conclusion. He writes, looking at the brain scans side by side, without knowing which was an analysis of physical pain and which was an analysis of social pain, you wouldn't have been able to tell the difference. And he says, when human beings experience threats or damage to their social bonds, the brain responds the same way it responds to physical pain. And so, you know, when we say things like, well, it wasn't a big deal. It was just emotional. Or when we were kids and we said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. No, actually, emotional pain is just as real and just as painful as physical pain. In fact, I would guess that a lot of us would say that some of the words that have been spoken to us have been more painful than any physical pain we've ever experienced. So let me just tell you this. If you have been hurt in life, if you have been wounded by words, I promise you that if you will give Jesus a chance, and if you will give this church a chance, and take full advantage of the opportunities to take next steps in your spiritual journey, there is healing available. Like, I have found that. You can find that. In fact, I would encourage you that one of the next steps you might want to take is next step. We offer a one-hour class. It's interactive. It's fun. Don't think like sitting there with it. It's really good. And we offer it every Sunday at 12 o'clock. In 2 weeks, we'll start offering it every Sunday at 10:30 and 12 o'clock. And next step is designed to help you move into a relationship with God and into the life he has for you and to find the healing and the wholeness that he has for your life. I encourage you, like, if you can, go today. If not, go next week. Our words, our worlds have been created by the words that have been spoken to us. And with our words, we create the world around us, right? We create the world that we live in. When we choose to be positive and speak positive words instead of complaining or being critical, it changes everything for us. It shapes our world. And when we speak words to other people, we are creating the world that they have to live in. Just like the words that have been spoken to us have impacted our entire lives, the words that we speak to other people impacts their entire lives. And we have the power to build people up or to tear people down because our words have the power of life and death. Now, we need to very intentionally choose the words we say and the words we choose not to say. And that is so difficult, right? It is really hard. And so I think we have to ask God to help us. Look what the Bible says in James chapter 3 about the power of our words and the lack of power we have in controlling and choosing the right words. James chapter 3, starting in verse 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. So this is talking about the astonishing power of something as small as your tongue, meaning your words, what you say. And he uses some analogies of things that are very small but have great power to illustrate this idea that our tongues, our words, have the power of life and death. And it says we can't control our tongues. Like everything else in our lives may be easier to control than the things we say. And we've all experience that, right? Like we all can go, yep, like I've said things I didn't mean to say. I've said things I didn't want to say. I've said things that I immediately regretted. It is so hard to control our tongue, our speech. And so we need to ask God for help. Like we're probably not capable of this on our own. And so we need to ask God to help us say right things, to help us say life-giving words. So I want to talk about some life-giving words that we need to make sure we're saying. And as I go through each of these types of communication, which will be life-giving in every relationship you have, I want you to just be honest and think about yourself and ask yourself, do I say these types of words? Like, the people who really know me, would they say, oh, yeah, that's, or would they go, and I hope that you'll commit today with God's help. Can't do this on our own, with God's help, to say more of these types of words, okay? So first, words of affirmation, or we could say encouragement. And we need to realize that everything we say, every word, is tearing someone down or building someone up. And we need to choose words that build people up. Look what God tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. It says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And so we need to intentionally choose words that build people up, like strategically. So if you're married, tell your husband, I am so glad that I am married to you. I respect you so much. To tell your wife, I love you. You mean so much to me. You are beautiful. Tell your kids, and you are becoming a man of God. You're becoming a woman of God. I am so proud of you. Like, find opportunities to tell your coworkers, it is so great to work with you. And do you realize you are so good at what you do? Tell your pastor, hey, I'm not trying to lust, but you are so good looking. Tell him, he'll understand. Do you know what will happen as you speak those encouraging words? What you're doing is you're creating the world that you live in. You're creating the world that other people live in. And if you speak life-giving words, you will start to create a world that you want to live in. A world that you want to live in. People will start to live up to what you see in them and what you tell them about themselves. By the way, obviously, I think the opposite is also true. If you keep tearing your spouse down, if you keep telling them you're not doing anything right, and you did that wrong, they will start to live down to what you're telling them. That they won't do what you want them to do. Why? because you spoke those words to them. You created that world by telling them that. Some of you, like, that's what's going on in your marriage. We need to speak words of affirmation, of encouragement. This is one of the reasons, by the way, why it is so huge. I couldn't over-exaggerate how huge it is to volunteer with Verve Kids, Verve Students, or at Marble Manor, the housing project that we have adopted. We are there every Tuesday and Wednesday night. We help them with their homework, and we read books with them, and we do an activity with them. If you serve with Verve Kids or Verve Students or at Marble Manor, thank you so much. You are making a huge difference with your life. You are living a high-impact life. Not so much because you hand out crayons and you help them with a craft, but because of the words you speak. You are helping to create the world that they are growing up in, and they will become what people see in them and say to them. If you're ever with me at Marble Manor on a Tuesday night, you will hear me saying over and over, as kids read to me and as I help them with their homework, I say, "You are so smart. How did you get so, this is so easy. How are you so smart, man? You're so smart. You're going to do great in school. You're all your year, all the time." We talk to them about going to college, and these kids, like, none of their brothers and sisters, none of their parents have gone to college, but we're trying to create the world they live in. If you volunteer with Verve Kids or Verve Students or Marble Manor, thank you. And if you don't, but you want to live a life that makes a difference and has an impact beyond you, volunteer with Verve Kids, Verve Students, or at Marble Manor. Man, it's Sunday mornings, Thursday nights, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, all kinds of opportunities. You could sign up to do that today. You can get more information at the Velcro Bar, and you will live a high-impact life. First, we need to speak words of affirmation. Second, we need to speak words of affection. And we need to do that for each other because God does that for us. If you haven't read the Bible much, you may not realize, but God speaks words of affection to us all the time. Like, look what he says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Wow. I mean, you may not be loved the way you want to be loved by your family, by your spouse, your boss, people who you thought were your friends, but you are loved with an everlasting love by God. And there's nothing you could do to make God stop loving you. He loves you, and he speaks words of affection over you. If you read the Bible, you'll read those, and it will shape the world that you live in. And we need to do the same for other people. You know, the reality is, I'll at least say this for me, for some of us, it's hard to speak words of affection. I will be honest, it's really hard for me. I never heard words of affection growing up. And so when I say something nice to someone, it actually feels awkward. I honestly feel embarrassed to say it. I know that sounds dumb. I feel embarrassed to say nice things to people. But still, I have to do it. And even if it's hard for you, we have to do it. We need to speak words of affection. Let me give you a kind of a strategy in using words of affection. Lead with love. So here's the deal. In relationships, you will occasionally have to have hard conversations where it's like, man, we're going to have to talk this out, and it's not going to be fun, right? In fact, last week we talked about those conversations and how does God tell us to do confrontation. And if you missed that, you can watch or listen to it on the Verve app or the Verve website. One of those things that happens in those conversations is often it makes things worse instead of better. Why? Well, because we go into those conversations feeling upset and hurt and angry and heated, and we want the other person to hear what's going on, so we tell it. And so we might exaggerate to make our point. We might use a tone that intimidates. We might use harsh words. We can't do that because that is not godly. And you know it's not godly because it's not love. Like everything God does is in love. The Bible says God is love. And so when you do something that's not loving, that is not of God, right? And it doesn't work. Like, think back on your life. Has anyone ever changed you by yelling at or intimidating you? No. Right? Everyone can say no. Have you ever changed anyone by yelling at or intimidating them? The answer is no, you haven't, right? We can't go about speaking the truth that way. But we do need to tell the truth. There are times where it's like, I have to tell you that you hurt me. I have to tell you that you're wrong in what you're doing. So what do? We lead with love. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Man, it's amazing what you can say and how well it will be received when you speak the truth in love, and especially when you lead with love. So going into those conversations, like, I need to make sure my tone is loving, and I need to start with love, not with accusations, not with the issue. Like right away, strategically, I'm going to make it clear, like, I love you. And the reason I want to have this conversation is for the health of our relationship. Like, I'm not trying to prove that I'm right. In that conversation, strategically, we want to use I statements, not you statements. So you statements are things like, you are so lazy. You are such a jerk. You are so mean to me. You're driving me crazy. You need to change. You can tell I've had some experience saying things like that. I'm good at that, and I don't want to be. Those statements work, by the way. Never. They never work. And so instead, we use I statements like, hey, I'm hurt when you come home from work and you don't want to talk to me. Like, it makes me feel like I don't matter. Or, I was afraid the other day when you yelled and threw the remote control, and I think the kids were really afraid as well. Those work. At least they have a chance of working. They have a chance because the other person can disagree with you, but they can't really disagree with how you feel, right? It's just one of the ways we lead with love. We make I statements, not you statements. I used to be awful at this. Like, I hurt lots of people unintentionally with my words. And now I'm okay with this. I've gotten a lot better, and I've got a ways to go. But what I do now when I talk to someone, inside, as I move into that conversation, I pray, God, how do I lead with love? How do I lead with love? Help me to start this conversation with love. And then throughout the conversation, there's this undercurrent of prayer that's happening in my mind where I'm saying, what is the most loving way for me to hear this? What is the most loving way for me to say the next thing that I have to say? We need to speak words of affection always, and especially if we have to share some hard truth. We lead with love. Okay, so what words do we need to speak? Words of affirmation, words of affection, and I want to give you two that are especially for husbands or future husbands. These will work for everybody, okay? So you don't need to tune out. Like these will work for everybody. But this summer, I'll have been married for 25 years, and I've learned a few things the hard way. You can clap for my wife. She's leading a women's group across the hallway. Maybe she'll hear that because she needs the applause. She made it. I don't know. But these are things that I've learned the hard way over 25 years, okay? Both of these work because they force you to listen more than talk. Here's the first one. You say this. You say, and then what happened? And then what happened? So someone, especially guys, your wife, but anyway, tells you something that happened. You listen, you get it. You want to tell them what they should do. You have advice to offer. It's great advice. It will fix whoa. Slow down, chief. Slow down. Instead of giving advice, just say this. Just say, and then what happened? Guys, if you say that to your wife, she will fall off of her chair. And then if you're a gentleman, you'll help her to get back up, sit down in your chair, and then you have the rest of the conversation. And then what happened? It may be the most romantic words that a guy can speak to his wife. I'm not even kidding. Here's the second one. And how did that make you feel? And how did that make you feel? So someone like your wife tells you what happened. She expects you to start talking, giving her advice, but you don't. You say, and then what happened? And she's shocked. She's confused. She's discombobulated. But she looks at you kind of awkwardly, and she tells you some more. And then she knows you're going to give her advice to fix everything. But instead you say, and how did that make you feel? After you lift her up from her fainting, she will give you husband of the year. You will win the award. It will be awesome. Seriously, do you know why these words matter? Why they matter to your spouse, to your kids, to anyone you care about? Because the most life-giving words you can say are the words you don't say. And when you give someone the gift of listening, like the gift of being heard. Man, that is so huge. And when we listen more than talk, we are being like Jesus. And our whole goal, the whole goal here, Verve, we want to be like Jesus. So here's something interesting. In the four books of the Bible that walk through Jesus' life here on earth, where we get to kind of see how Jesus lived and what he did, Jesus is asked 183 questions. He directly answers three of those 183 questions. But he asked people 307 questions. Jesus asked questions and he listened. He wasn't quick to make his point, and we need to be the same. We're told in James chapter 1, verse 19, that everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, if you're like me, sometimes maybe you come home from work and your spouse is there or your roommate's there, and you just feel like you've been listened out. Like you had to listen to a lot at work that day, and there's a temptation to just disconnect. No, that person you're living with, your family, your roommate, your friend, too important, right? They're too important. And what you do when you go home, even if you're tired, you're creating a world with your words. That's what our words do. So you ask questions and you listen, and then you say, and then what happened? And then you say, and how did that make you feel? One last type of communication I want to mention, which is prayer. What do you think would happen in your relationship, marriage, friend, whatever, your spouse, your kid, maybe with your kid, if you said, as you're talking, if you said, you know what, let's just stop and let's just pray and let's just ask God for help. What if instead of arguing, maybe you're in a fight, what if you said, hey, let's not do this. Let's pray. Like, let's just talk to God together. I know some of you are like, that sounds so awkward. Like, I'm new to this stuff, and I barely prayed by myself. You're saying pray with the other. Yeah, I'm saying pray with the other. That sounds really awkward. I get it. Like, I didn't grow up in this stuff. Like even to this day, it's like, that's still a little awkward. I've been doing this for a long time. Maybe a little awkward for you, but could it help? Could it make a difference? Could it change the other person's heart? Could it change your heart? Could it change your relationship? Look what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2. It says, you quarrel and fight, you do not have, because you do not ask God. And I wonder how many broken relationships could experience healing today if you just asked God. I wonder how different the future could look from the past if you just ask God. I wonder how many of us would find ourselves using words that bring life to others instead of tearing them down if we just asked God. Pray. But maybe there's something that you need to ask God for first. Because again, remember that big passage we looked at in James where it says, hey, you're not going to be good at this. It's strong language, right? It's like the tongue is a fire set on fire by hell. It's like it's an uncontrollable kind of thing. And so we're not going to be really good at this. And so the first thing we need to do is ask God for help. Ask God for his power. We've tried in the past to control our tongues. It didn't work. And so we're going to try in a different way. We're going to say, I can't, but God can. That's why the first step is always to give ourselves to God. Because to invite God into our lives, to take control of our lives. When we do that, the power of God moves and lives inside of us. And then we find that we have a power that we didn't have before on our own. And you can give your life to God. Like it's not complicated. You could do this. You put your faith in Jesus. You make a decision to put your faith in Jesus, that he really is the Son of God, the Savior, and the one who can make you right with God by what he did on the cross. You believe and you use your words to tell him. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. It says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. All your sins are gone. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So you believe in Jesus, and you tell him. You tell him. Maybe you've been feeling really far from God. Maybe you're at a place where you've been feeling really disconnected from God. Maybe you're at a place where you're like, I need God. I need God's power in my life and in my relationships. And maybe not, but maybe you're ready to put your faith in Jesus and just give your life to God. Tell him. In fact, let's do that together right now. I'm going to pray, and if it's where you're at, and maybe it's not, but if it's where you're at, you can make this prayer your own. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for going to the cross and paying for the punishment that my sins deserve. And I choose to receive your forgiveness. And I give you permission, I give you control to put your power into my life because I need it. And so, God, I just totally surrender my life to you. And I ask you to change me, to live inside of me, to be my Lord, to be the leader of my life. God, I want to follow you. So I say yes to Jesus, and I give my life to you. Amen. Hey, if you just said that prayer, the Bible says that the next step is to be baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So baptism is when a person, because of their faith, is lowered underwater, then raised up out of water. The idea is that just like Jesus was buried and then raised from death to life, you are getting a new life with God, a new life with the power of God to live it. So we're doing baptisms 2 weeks from today, and you could make that day your day. If you believe but have never been baptized, or maybe today for the first time you're like, I believe, I want to give my life to God, then you should make that day your day. And you can sign up or get more information at the Velcro Bar after the service. Listen, you will have new power, and we need God's power to help us. We need God's power to help us heal from words that have been spoken to us and to help us say words that will bring life to others. So let's just real quick pray one more time, just that we can choose our words carefully and that God will help us. So God, for those of us who have been hurt by words, man, it's real and it's painful and it shapes our world and we need healing. And God, we pray that you would bring healing to us. God, each of us is going to walk out of here and we're going to speak lots of words today and this week and the rest of our lives, and we can do so much damage and we can do so much good. Help us to choose words that build people up. And we can't do that on our own. So we ask for your help. Thanks for being an awesome God who wants to help us and lead us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.